I will call to order the April 4th meeting of the Government Operations and Elections Policy Committee. And Representative Buick, have you had a chance to review the minutes from the meeting of the 30th?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I did, and I move the minutes for April 4th.
Representative Buick moves approval of the minutes from March 30th.
Oh, yeah, looking at the wrong date, sorry. I move the minutes for approval for March 30th.
Any discussion? Hearing none, seeing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. Members, we have two items on the agenda today, and we will take Representative Knobloch first, House File 2290. I will move that before the committee to be re-referred to the General Register. And Representative Knobloch, I have an amendment that I will be offering on here. And I don't know if you want to share any thoughts before we get to the amendment or how you want to do that, since most of the bill is my amendment.
Yes, well, Mr. Chair, members, House File 2290 is actually already in the state government finance bill, but just briefly, so you know what it is, because it is mildly interesting. For over 100 years, Minnesota title examiners have been paid in one of two ways. If you are in a larger county of more than 75,000 people, you are a county employee. If you are in a smaller county, you are not a county employee, but are paid by the fees for the work you do. So, for example, some time ago, I bought some land. There were survey problems with it, which I knew existed when I bought the land. The escrow paid for the survey, but we needed to do what's called a torrens or registered title to sort out some of the title issues with the land, and I paid the examiner out of my own pocket then for the services that he did as a title examiner for the property to then have it registered in Sherburne County where I live. And Sherburne County some time ago grew to more than 75,000 people, but they still want to keep doing things the way they've always done them. So we have a one-word bill that allows Sherburne County to not hire a county employee, but keep doing things the way they've done them, and just have the people that need the services pay the title examiner directly. And that's my bill.
Representative Knobloch, thank you. I will offer the A1 amendment to House File 2290, and I'm going to pick right up where the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, Representative Knobloch, has left off as well. As he mentioned, 2290 is contained within the state government finance bill, and everything that's in the A1 amendment is also information that is contained within the state government finance bill, and for various and sundry reasons did not make their way to the committee. And so to make sure that this committee, in preserving our jurisdiction, has had a chance to see, hear, discuss, and debate these and act upon them, I have created the A1 amendment and moving the A1 amendment to the 2290 to make sure that this committee's jurisdiction has been preserved. With that, is there any discussion on the A1 amendment to get the bill in the chair, the form that the chair would like the bill, not necessarily the bill author?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Make an oral amendment to take out the word Sherburne in the original bill, too, and then it'd be all your bill.
In fact, it would be, wouldn't it? In fact, it would be. If you want to do a change of author on this. Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of the A1 amendment to get the bill in the shape that we would like it, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed. Any discussion on the A1 amendment? House File 2290 as amended. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Knobloch, just kind of a quick question. So, you know, essentially the gist of the bill, you know, we keep the accepted counties in, and it will kind of just include the county we're speaking about. Are there any counties, other counties that are getting close to that population amount that we'd have to consider that might be affected by that?
Knobloch.
You know, Mr. Chair, Representative Swazinski, I guess I don't know. My county brought this to me. Actually, to tell you the truth, we should really probably change this law and just say counties can do whatever they want, and we don't need to have this arbitrary 75,000 population level. But this is kind of one of those bills that my county brought, that I've just brought it this way. Maybe the State Government Finance Committee can come up with a better solution when they're in conference.
Other discussion to House File 2290 as amended. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank you for bringing this forward so that we can briefly discuss some of the policy that's in here that we didn't get a chance to hear, that policy that's in the State Government Finance Committee that we didn't get a chance to hear here. It's early. Could you briefly just, I quickly read through it late last night. I wasn't sure when it was posted, but unfortunately I didn't catch it until 11 o'clock last night. Just want to double check on Section 15, the repealers, the repeals of Legislative Water Commission, the Mississippi River Parkway Commission, and then the Washington office. That's something I'm not as familiar with. Is this the trade office that's there?
Representative Joachim, I do sit on the State Government Finance Committee, and we did get a chance to hear this in committee, and I will also defer to the vice chair of that committee, who's on here, Representative Nash, for comments on this as well. There is a Washington and Minnesota offices, and we viewed those as redundant in services, and so looking to consolidate since the state has to pay for both the Washington and the Minnesota resources on that. And with that, I would defer to Vice Chair Nash if he has any follow-up on that.
Okay. Great. I was just curious what it was. And then I did tune in last night late a little bit to the Ways and Means Committee as they were discussing the
Representative Joachim, you need to find another hobby.
I don't sleep well, Mr. Chair. It's so fascinating, though. Section 7, I know there was a lot of discussion on the MRF language. Was it just the amount of money that was changing, or was there any policy change when it came to the MRF division?
I will defer to the Ways and Means Chair, since he lived it, breathed it live, and is here this morning to be able to report on that, and if there's any other background, I can fill in, because I was involved in that negotiation. Chair Knobloch.
Mr. Chair, Representative Joachim, it was all about money. There wasn't any policy language, and the co-chair of the Pension Commission can probably fill you in more, but I guess from my perspective, the state's been subsidizing MRF, the Minneapolis Employee Retirement Fund, to the tune of many millions of dollars for many, many years. And there was, 2 years ago, a audit report out of a staff person of the Pension Commission here, as I recall, that said that there was a significant surplus. I think I recall the number being $36 million in MRF, that they had $36 million more than they calculated they needed at that point. And so in 2015, in the budget bill, we did not give as much money to Minneapolis as we had in the past because there was this large surplus that had built up. But it wasn't $36 million. I want to say we did not give them $20 million that they would have otherwise gotten. And if I remember correctly, I think it's $16 million this year that we're proposing to not transfer to them that they would otherwise get. But there is some dispute as to whether perhaps agreements were made about whether they should still be getting that money or not.
Representative Joachim, we also have Mr. Ranieri here from the City of Minneapolis, and he may want to share some thoughts on this. And as it looks like he does as he's making his way to the testifying table. Come on, Mr. Ranieri. We, back in 2015, learned from PERA when the Minneapolis Retirement Plan merged into PERA. They had made some estimates about the dollars they felt that they needed to shore up the plan so that current members of PERA wouldn't be subsidizing the Minneapolis folks who were coming in. And then that number was adjusted in 15. Now, the chair of the State Government Finance Committee is looking to want to do an additional adjustment in 2017 based on some information that she's working on. And with that, Mr. Ranieri, we'd be happy to hear from you as well. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. My name is Gene Ranieri. I'm with the City of Minneapolis, Director of Government Relations. In 2010, MRF had a real serious problem. Its funding level was probably around 60%. The legislature worked with all the employers, and there are five employers in this issue. It's the City of Minneapolis, the school board, the park board, the county, the airports commission, and also at one time, the Metropolitan Council and MNSCU. There were employees in all those units. As a result of the legislation in 2010, 2011, there were significant more contributions put in by both the state and the employers. And they also said that if and when we reach 80% funding level, the MRF would merge into the state. We never thought it would happen in 2014. And what happened in 2014, up until 2014, the cities, the employers, and the state were putting in $51 million total. And then there was also an additional $4 million put in by the employers. That split was $27 million from the employers and $24 million from the state. When we reached 82% in 2014, there was an actuarial study done, and it showed that the contribution to get to the goal of 100% funding by 2031 was $37 million, or a reduction of about $14 million. After serious, lots of negotiations in this committee, other committees, and in conference committee, it was agreed to that over the next two biennials, in 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, there would be a $6 million contribution by the state in the calendar year 15 and 16, and the employers would put in 31. It was also in that legislation that starting in 17, the state contribution would go to $16 million, and the contribution of the local governments would go to $21 million. I think I have that right. So it would be a $37 million, 21-16. This legislation drops the going back up to 16 and keeps all of the employers at $31 million up until 2031. The issue for the employers is we already budgeted for 2017. As many of you know who are in local government as mayors or council members, we put our budgets together in the fall in the preceding year. We all got letters from the PERA board telling us what our costs were, and we all budgeted that way. So we are all going to have to scramble to find collectively $10 million to make up for this year. And that's the issue.
The reason that this provision is before us is we are the Committee of Jurisdiction for Pensions. Representative Joaquin, does that help with some background?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I didn't mean to bring up a whole fiscal issue, but I know that is our jurisdiction, yep. So I just wanted to make sure everybody in the committee is.
Certainly. Ready. Any other questions for Mr. Ranieri by the committee? Mm-hmm. Seeing none and hearing none. Anyone else wishing to testify on the House File 2290 as amended? Anyone else from the public wishing to testify? Seeing none and hearing none, Representative Joaquin. Oh, Representative Sanston.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. By striking lines 2.24 through 2.27, could it be assumed that these different retirement systems then would be considered or could be considered a state agency?
Mr. Gearing.
Mr. Chair, Representative Sanstead, this section is within the chapter of law that regulates MINIT, so it's the Minnesota IT Services, and what it's doing here is currently in law, all the listed agencies there are exempt from the MINIT consolidation requirements, and so this would require the retirement systems, campaign finance board, state lottery, and the radio board to be subject to MINIT consolidation. It doesn't otherwise affect their status as state agencies.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Joaquin.
And then I just have one more question, sure. Or maybe even comment on sections, I think it's 6 and 12. I'm a little more familiar with this because I've actually been working on a bill that somewhat has the same goal for 2 years now with us under rest in the other body. And my approach to free electronic filing, which I think is a laudable goal for us to kind of reach to give a public service to those who are asking to file their taxes, and currently folks under a certain income level can file for free through a vendor agreement we have, a memorandum of understanding we have with those vendors. I had just wanted the Department of Revenue to take an approach to do a report to go out for requests of information with those vendors to see what it would cost to expand that to all of our electronic filing for state income taxes for folks. Because we've been learning if we keep the state income tax linked with the federal as people are filing, there's less of a chance of fraud. I believe it's an important service to give to people. This section that's in the bill is something Chair Anderson brought forward a week before deadlines and kind of rushed through the committee process, which is a little concerning, but I know that happens. And this actually requires the State Department to actually build a system in-house that just starts off by populating your W-2s and sending it to you, and it's to the tune of about $22 million. So, little concerned that this is in here. I know it's in the state government finance bill, and that's a broader discussion, but I hate to tell Chair Driscoll, but I'll be voting no on your amendment just because of that section. I think $22 million is a lot to throw out there when we should be doing the report and really thinking of this more of a thoughtful process, get the report back and see how to approach this instead of requiring the Department of Revenue, who's already taking cuts last night in ways and means they actually put into the state government finance bill language that requires the Department of Revenue to actually eat this $22 million too. So little concerned about that, and just wanted to point that out to the committee members that I have a much more thoughtful approach with a report that costs barely anything. So just wanted to throw that out there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Joaquin. Good morning and welcome to the committee. Please state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, my name is Kirk Peterson with the law firm of Bryce, Michaels, and Walther. I represent both Hennepin County and Minneapolis Park Board. I just wanted to follow up real quickly with what Mr. Ranieri said about the MRF provision, the removal of the $10 million in state funding. Over the 14-year cost, 14-year life of the provision that the state is supposedly paying these, or has previously made a commitment, this would cost Hennepin County over $4.4 million and Minneapolis Park Board over nearly $14.5 million. So between those two entities alone, it's nearly a $19 million hit that Hennepin County is going to have to levy back for. So that's a significant increase in property taxes for Hennepin County ratepayers. And as Mr. Ranieri said, part of that's going to have to come out of this year's budget, which those budgets are already set, so I don't know how we would account for that. So just wanted to get that on the record, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. And, again, we're a policy committee, not a finance committee, but this is where those two circles do overlap, with the policy being pensions with us and the finance and fiscal issues with the State Government Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Members, any other questions? Anyone else wishing to testify on the matter before the committee, House File 2290 as amended? Well, Representative Knobloch, usually we would give the author the opportunity to have the final word on the bill, but since only one word in this bill is yours, I will say thank you for your hard work on putting this bill together, and I think you've got a great product here. Representative Chair Knobloch.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just want to thank Representative Nelson for not making his motion to remove my one word.
With that, members, I will renew my motion that House File 2290, as amended, be referred to the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. The next item, thank you, Representative Knobloch. The next item on our agenda is some wrap-up business from last week, and that is the interviews that we did with the Campaign Finance Committee nominees from the governor's office. We had a chance to interview Ms. Levick and also Mr. Moylan. And members, what I would like to do today is I would like to make a motion that this committee recommend that they move on in the process with no recommendation from the committee at this time, and that and I'll make that motion so that we keep the candidates alive and that they would at the appropriate time be brought forward to the House floor for consideration, and I'm not 100% sure that the Senate has done anything at this point with candidates, so we may be ahead of our counterparts, as Representative Joaquin likes to refer to them, in the other body. So with that, any discussion? But I will renew my motion that Mr. Robert Moylan and Margaret Levick be referred, excuse me, one at a time. All right. Mr. Gehring said we should do them one at a time. I'll make a motion that Margaret Peggy Lepic be referred from the Committee on Government Operations and Elections with no referral to the House floor, to the House floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
And I make a motion that Mr. Robert Moylan be referred from the Committee on Government Operations and Elections Policy to the House floor with no recommendation from the committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. There is no other business before the committee, but as you know, government operations does have different times throughout the session where we need to pop up, and we will have some kind of pensions action at some point in the process and maybe a few other things. And so, members, again, thank you for being here early this morning. I realize that many of you had to come from a distance and a little bit before other colleagues, but we're in that time of the session where floor session prevails over everything else that we're doing. And with my thanks, I appreciate each and every one of you coming here this morning. And with that, we are adjourned.